Welcome to the Deep Dive. Before we kick things off today, just want to give a quick shout out to our supporter, SafeServer. They handle hosting for software like the one we're discussing and can help with your digital transformation. You can find more info over at www.safeserver.de. All right, so today we've got some source material from a listener. It's all about a personal finance app called Actual Budget. Our plan for this deep dive is pretty clear. Look at these sources and figure out what Actual Budget is, how it supposedly works, and, you know, what the material claims makes it special. And we're really aiming to break it down so it's easy to follow, especially if you're maybe new to using apps for managing money.
Yeah, and what really jumps out right away from the sources is that core pitch. They build as fast, really focused on privacy, and built around this method they call Proven for getting a handle on your finances.
Okay, let's unpack that first bit then. What exactly is Actual Budget based on these documents?
Well, they describe it as a, well, super fast application and heavily privacy focused, designed specifically for personal finance management.
And that privacy thing seems key. You mentioned local first.
Exactly. The sources stress that it's local first software. Basically, this means the app works fine even if you're offline. Your data, it lives on your device first.
Ah.
Syncing, if you set it up, just happens in the background when you do have internet.
Right, which connects directly to that big claim the sources make. You own your data. They seem to really hammer this point home. The material even mentions optional end-to-end encryption.
Mm-hmm. Like an extra privacy shield.
So even if data syncs somewhere, only you can read it, which, you know, it does raise a question for you listening. How much does that level of control over your financial data actually matter to you compared to maybe services where it's all just out there in their cloud?
It definitely points to a philosophy of user control over their own information. Sovereignty, you might say.
So, okay, control is one thing, but how does it actually help manage the money itself? The sources bring up this core concept pretty quickly, the well-proven and much-loved envelope budgeting methodology.
Right. And why they say it's powerful is interesting. It's all based on your actual income, the money you genuinely have right now. And this method, according to the sources, it kind of forces you to face your real spending. Because it's super clear how much you're actually saving.
Because you can only budget cash you physically have or expect, like, right away, keeps it grounded.
Exactly. No budgeting hypothetical future money. It's about the here and now.
And they connect this directly to saving money, don't they?
They do. The material claims it helps save hundreds of dollars a year, at least, by tracking your spending.
Hmm.
So the idea isn't just tracking, it's this specific method of tracking and allocation that drives the savings, according to them.
Because it forces that clarity on where every single dollar is assigned.
Precisely. Less about guessing, more about actively directing the funds you possess.
Okay, now here's something that sounds really appealing, especially if finance apps sometimes feel a bit clunky. Usability and control.
Ah, yes. The sources say it's meticulously designed for speed.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about a beautifully designed interface that tries to just get out of your way, let you do what you need to do fast.
Speed is good, but what about that control aspect?
Well, while it's fast, the philosophy they emphasize is you are in control. It seems the app is built to help you learn from managing your finances actively, not just automate everything for you.
So it's a tool for you, not a robot managing for you.
That seems to be the distinction the sources are making, yeah. A contrast to maybe fully automated approaches.
And they highlight speed specifically for handling transactions.
Mm-hmm. They call it the fastest way to manage transactions, optimized for quick categorization. And they mention it handles tricky stuff easily, like split transactions.
No, like when one grocery run covers food and household stuff?
Exactly. Or handling transfers between your accounts smoothly, all in the same flow.
You can sort of imagine how much quicker managing your spending could feel if the tool itself wasn't a bottleneck.
It suggests a design focused on user efficiency, keeping you aware of money movement.
Okay, so the method makes sense. The interface aims for speed. How do you get your actual financial data in there to start?
Right, the practicalities.
Yeah.
The sources say the goal is everything in one place.
Hmm.
So you had all your accounts, bank accounts, credit cards to track your overall net worth.
And getting the transaction data in.
A couple of ways mentioned. Importing standard files is one they list. QIF, OFX, QFX, CMT.053, and CSV.
Those sound like the download formats banks often provide.
Pretty much. Standard stuff. But they also mention more automated options. There's built-in support for bank syncing via specific services,
mm-hmm.
Go cardless for Europe and the UK, and Simple F for the US and Canada.
Ah, okay. So options there. And what if you, like, mess up? enter a wrong number or category.
Good point. The sources highlight an undo and redo system. They explicitly say, never worry about making mistakes because you can just undo changes easily.
That actually sounds like a big relief, a safety net.
Definitely important for confidence when you're dealing with financial data.
So once you've got your data in, you start seeing the picture. What about reports?
The reports. The sources seem pretty enthusiastic. There's a quote, oh my, the reports.
Huh. Okay, so what kind of reports?
By default, they say it includes intuitive ones like net worth, you know, assets minus debts and cash flow. But interestingly, they also mention a powerful custom report engine.
Meaning you can build your own.
Seems like it. Build visualizations to answer the specific questions you have about your money.
Okay, this sounds powerful, but maybe a bit daunting for someone totally new. How do you actually get started?
They address that directly in the material, focusing on beginners. They list installation options, but explicitly recommend something called one-click deployment via PikaPods.
PikaPods!
Yeah, they position it as the easiest route for non-technical users. And they even give a rough cost, around $1.40 a month.
Huh. So, a low barrier to entry there. Are there other ways?
Oh, yeah. For those more comfortable, they list options like fly.io using Docker, or just downloading local apps for your computer, Windows, Mac, Linux. So, different paths depending on your technical confidence.
And what if you're not just new to this app, but new to budgeting entirely, or switching from something else?
Good question. The sources point to community resources for that. They mention a starting fresh guide for total beginners, and a migration guide for people switching. They even specifically note importers for YNAB, both the older YNAB 4 and the newer online version.
That community aspect sounds important.
It seems central. The sources state it's community-driven and 100% free and open source with an MIT license.
Meaning the code is open and people contribute.
Exactly. Transparency and community improvement. They back this up with GitHub stats like over 19,000 stars, 315-plus contributors, shows it's alive and kicking.
That feels like a strong selling point, especially tied back to that privacy and control theme.
Mm-hmm. And they briefly mentioned other features too, like syncing across devices if you host it yourself, dark mode, even an API for developers.
Yeah.
Though they flag that API bit as more for technical users.
Right. So, you know, thinking about all this, it brings up an interesting point based on what the sources present.
Which is?
Well, given the choice these sources seem to outline between, say, fully automated, maybe black box finance tools, and one, like this emphasizing user control, transparency, active management, how does that choice potentially shape your own trust and understanding of your money?
That's a core tension, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Convenience versus direct control and understanding.
Exactly. So, bringing it back to you, listening. What this deep dive into the sources suggests is that actual budget positions itself as this fast, private tool putting you in the driver's seat with envelope budgeting. The claim is it helps you really see your spending, potentially save money, and offers accessible ways to start, backed by this open community. You can almost imagine that feeling of clarity, right? Knowing exactly where the money's going.
It's framed as empowering the user, giving them agency in their financial life.
So to wrap up our look at this source material, actual budget is presented as fast, local-first, privacy-centric, using envelope budgeting to put you in control. The aim, according to the sources, is clarity, savings, and an accessible start, all community-supported.
And the underlying theme running through it all seems to be the value of agency, of understanding your own finances and data.
Which leaves us with a final thought to chew on. In a world where so many financial tools push towards automation, maybe even taking control away from you, what does it really mean to consciously take back those reins, to truly understand where your money goes, dollar by dollar? Something to think about. And one last big thank you to our supporter, SafeServer, for helping make this deep dive happen. They handle hosting and support digital transformation. Check them out at www.safeserver.de.